Today is the last Sunday for the year. So let's anticipate next year with a yearning heart. So today's topic is on people, because our ministry is not apart from people, and we are all growing up amidst people. So we go to work, we go to school, and we are in contact with all kinds of people. And when we got married, so one day on, we start to live with someone who is totally different from us, and we have to get used to the person. So for our whole life, we are not separated from men. And even in our church, as people, the number of people gets larger. And so sometimes when you come to church, you cannot even talk to a pastor. But today, I'm very happy to be back after the mission. But we know that when we live amidst the crowd, we are being shaped by people, and we are also shaping others. And indirectly, we are affected by others. So sometimes we observe people, and sometimes other people observe us. So do you have a conclusion regarding humans? This is very important. Sometimes we didn't think much, and we are just among the people, and it's very complicated. And so we hide ourselves, or we avoid. So some people, they make certain choices, and they say that some people we can choose to make friends with them. Some people we can mix around, and then they just do not walk out of their own comfort zone. And so some people, they continue to get in touch with new people, new things, new matters. But what's the conclusion of a gospel man? So the title tells us that people are all the same, but yet they are also different. There is this very real meaning in this. So I'm really thankful to be back to our church today. I feel more intimate sharing the gospel with you in our home church. But 1 month I'm outside the church, I've met different people, the Westerners and the Easterners, and I also met the Japanese on the way back. And in Japan, I also met the Westerners and Easterners within Japan itself. So I'm in touch with all kinds of people and all kinds of environment. And so when I was about to come back, my wife suddenly said something in the car, and she said, "Actually, people are all the same." She said that actually people are all the same. After seeing so many people, maybe people have different thinking. Some people are more polite, just like the Japanese. When I went to Japan, after 2 or 3 days, automatically I will also bow my head as I talk to people. And as I was about to bump into someone, I will also bow in apology. So humans, we have different mannerisms. But you have to understand that people are all the same. And how are we the same? If you go back to the Bible, what is the same? Human sin is all the same. Human fears are also the same. When humans are afraid, the kind of heart that he has, and human selfish desires are the same. They all want to acquire more. And when people are being accused, it's the same. When people are accused, they are close up. They want to protect themselves. They want to hide themselves. They only let you see his external, but not the inner self. So, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, everyone has sinned. So, when we commit the sin, maybe the manifestation of the sin are different. But you can see the state of the heart, the inner feeling, the inner struggle of the person is all the same. No one can walk out of this sin. And so you have to first understand this. You have to first understand the state of the person's heart. Another thing that humans are the same is in the sense that humans are all weak and fragile, and so humans, we need redemption, and humans, we need love. No matter who it is, as long as he knows that someone loves him, and in his helplessness, someone will come to help him and protect him, and when he knows that, automatically his heart will be liberated and strengthened, no matter who it is. You don't have to care about which kind of people needs love or not. Actually, everyone needs love. Everyone has sin, and when a person is in sin, they are all the same, and they all need redemption. So is this simple? It's very simple. So you have to understand. So people are all the same in this manner. And so when we are with people, sometimes we realize that sometimes a person has his ugly side. A child may have his disobedient side. And how do you view all these things? We may immediately say that this child is not good. This co-worker is not good. This is an unreasonable person. Japanese are very hard to evangelize to them. They are very hard. They may smile to you on the outside, but you don't know what they are thinking inside. But you must have this concept based on the truth that people are all the same. Humans are all the same. So what is our problem? Our problem is we are very selective. We keep looking at certain things, but we do not understand what is humanity. But we have to go back to the Bible to understand what humanity is. So sometimes when we evangelize, we feel that certain types of people is easier to evangelize to. Certain people are harder. So people who are more crude, or people like Muslim or Japanese, they are harder to evangelize. And so you go and learn their culture, their language. You want to integrate into their culture, into them. Of course, you have to do all these things. You have to befriend them, etc. But many a times, when we overstudy, you know, humans' personalities, culture, background, etc. And when we overstudy this without going back to the Bible to understand what humanity is, so you have to ask yourself, do you truly know what humanity is? So in Japan, actually I was supposed to go and preach. But this time around, the Holy Spirit hindered and the doors were closed, and 5 days on the streets, I went to church, and I spent time with my brother who was a missionary there. So I met a lot of Japanese elder, pastor, I went to church of 10 people, etc. And later on, I realized that before we think about too many things, we have to first ask, what is it that humanity truly needs? So when God wanted to save the world, He says, for God loved the world. And this love is a universal love. Because in human spirit, we all need this love. So humans are all the same. So when I talk about this, the moment you hold on to this truth, you can be very, you can rest assured in your heart, because when you see certain weak or hard people, you will not be shaken in terms of evangelizing to them. But perhaps some brethren may also say, it's easy for you to say this, Pastor. As long as people need love and they know they have sin, and so you have to point out his sin to them, but it's not so easy. So when I teach my children, sometimes I scold them also cannot, I love them also cannot. So sometimes when I co-work with brethren, or when two people work together, sometimes it's not good to give in, it's not good to confront. So is it very easy? So humans are all the same. And so we can treat them in the same way, but it cannot be like that. A lot of times, there's communication breakdown. Why? Because we also forget a critical truth, and that is, humans are all different also. So humans are also different. We are different in our background, our culture, our way of expression, our working style, the psychological barriers, and our personalities are all different. So sometimes we are very puzzled. Why is it that I can do it but you cannot do it? Why is it that my logic is this but your logic is another kind? What I worry, you also worry. It's the same. All humans will worry. But what I worry about and what you worry about is different. My perspective and your perspective are also different. And the kind of opinions that we form are also different. And when we raise children, for example, when your child gets sick, have fever, then what happened to the husband and wife? Usually the mother will, quickly let's go to the doctor. Otherwise, you know, the fever may damage his brain or head. But the husband may say, it's such a waste of money to go to the doctor. And it's a waste of time. It's just a fever. Just take some medication to observe. Both of them have their own reasons. So, both of them, they have their reasons, they have their worries and their opinions. But if the two of them in this area, they refuse to give in and they cannot come to a consensus, then you realize that gradually there will be conflicts. So co-workers also in the same way. When you do things together, I need to tell you, tasks are very easy, whether it's in the church or at home. If you want to fulfill certain tasks, it is very easy. But some things, some tasks just cannot be done. Many a times it's because of humans having different perspective. And so, when it's like this, if you only want to get the task done, then conflicts will arise. But you also realize that at that point in time, it is also when we should know each other. We should know the difference between him and I. But actually, within us, we are all the same. Within us, we are all weak and helpless. We all need God. But actually, in many areas, we are different. And so that's the critical area in which we have to know each other. If you want to be someone very wise, very loving, it's not that you want to have love and wisdom, then you will have. But you need to know these two truths very well. That humans are the same and yet humans are different. God created everyone, but yet everyone is different. You need to integrate these two truths into your heart, then you can be truly a wise person. Sometimes we see certain people who are more competent on earth. So they have their own opinions. For example, a mother, when she is very good in raising her children, and she will just say that children are all the same, you know, I can teach this child, that child also. Then when, and she told another mother, saying, you know, children are all the same. You know, sometimes you need to scold, sometimes you need to dote on him. It's very easy. So, such a mother will be inclined towards the first sentence, people are all the same. But another mother who cannot handle her own child, she may say, my child is different from yours. My child is different from many children. So she will be inclined to the second phrase where humans are different. So when the two of them are inclined towards different emphasis, actually they are all not perfect. So both of them are not wise. Just like when I go to the mission field, some pastors tell me, Pastor Chu, I look at you, you have been traveling all over the place spreading the gospel. I know why you can do it. Because my co-worker and your co-worker are different. Your co-workers are very united. Your co-workers are not selfish. But my co-workers are not like this. The personality of my co-worker, the temper of my co-worker, the stubbornness of my co-worker. And so later when I talk to his co-worker, whether it's elders or deacons, but my conclusion after that was, actually, they are all the same. His elders and his deacons' weaknesses are also found in my elder and deacons. So I told him, I'm the same as yours. Sometimes whatever you fear, I'm also afraid. So at that point, when we humans, we face certain difficulties or we have certain experiences, so we are inclined towards the path that or the truth that we selected. But the gospel is full, it's perfect, it's complete. So for our whole life, if every time we are always saying, my situation, my family, my bosses are all the same, for your whole life, if you are always inclined towards the second phrase, then you are very problematic. Because the whole world is different. But another kind of person will always say, oh, people are all the same, people are all the same. They are not relevant also. They are also not down to earth. Because when people talk to such a person, they will think that such a person don't understand that people have different culture, different background, etc. So some people, they just cannot evangelize because they are not realistic. They do not understand that when God created people, there's a profound mystery. Let me share with you about my family. Every time when I share about my family, there must be a reason to do it. You know, the most exciting things in my family will usually come from my youngest son. 2019, when he was in secondary one, you know how many times I visited the school? Which of you want to guess? I've shared this in America. Some people say 3 times, 4 times, 7 times. I visited the school for 7 times. Do you know why? Because I've met everyone whom I'm supposed to meet. The form teacher, the head teacher, discipline teacher, vice principal, principal, and the counselor, and everyone comes together and has a mass meeting. So I've met everyone whom I can meet. I already met all. And finally, after seeing everyone, I said, teachers, I'm very sorry. My child had given you a lot of trouble. He's a different child. But after that, I said, but yet, he's also the same as all children. So when I said that he's the same as all children, they all respond, how is he the same as all other children? They are saying that 95% of the children are different from your child. So I said, can you please give him more time? Then they said, we have given him a lot of times and chance. So earthly people do not understand heavenly truths. Earthly institution cannot understand the profound mystery of God's creation of mankind. So I cannot say much because I'm a parent. No, my child is mischievous. So we also summon the boy and talk to him, and eventually before the exams, the principal told him, you don't have to attend class. You just stay in my office with me. So for 3 days, he stayed in the principal's office. But after staying with the principal, he is still the same. But amazingly, in the 3 days, the principal spent time with my son. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Then after that, then she also had a conclusion that this boy is not too bad, is not too terrible. But he has a lot of little gestures and he's not attentive. He just wants to do his own things. But why? Because for 3 days, the principal was in contact with this boy and she knew the boy a little bit better. So knowing is a very wonderful thing. If you're only watching from afar, or you're using some institution or using some laws to look at a person, you will not understand how the person's heart is. So the system will not understand you. The system will separate you. You are which percentile. You know, people are not doing this, but you're doing this. People do this, but you didn't do, as and so on. So one day, my daughter came back and said, Father, there's a sec one boy in my class, and he's really terrible. He came to our school. In less than 6 months, he has deducted how many demerit points? And demerit points were awarded to those who make mistakes. For example, you have 30 points, and if you finish deducting all 30 points, you'll be suspended, etc. So I said, have you spoken to such a boy? Then my daughter would say, I don't want to speak to such a person. I don't want to be his friend. So I said, he only had deducted this number of demerit points, but your brother has already deducted, finished all his demerit points, and your brother is even negative. So this schoolmate of yours won't be as bad as your brother, but you are fine with your brother. Then my daughter say, my brother is different because I know my brother. So, I hope you understand what I mean. Humans are indeed the same. There's this same nature, same need of humans. But their expression, their personalities are all different. But how do you integrate these two phrases to become the love and wisdom in your heart? Then you know how to live with your family, live with brethren. Our church is getting larger, and you go to the mission field, you face different people. In your heart, you first is willing to accept them, and you know them better. And after knowing them better, you can save more people and influence more people. I know this is not easy. This is just a concept when I share it. And if you do not practically pray in this area and hold on to this truth, to keep praying, to face this difficulty, then it's very hard for you to break through. Because between person and person, it's like if the dog shits over there, you can accept the poo of the dog. But if this person give you unpleasant things, you will not be able to accept. So this is between people and people, human and human. So do you know that in future, when we go back to heaven, the Bible tells us there will be people from all nations, all tribes, all peoples, they will all gather together. And they will all praise the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And they will be in complete love and unity. Have you ever thought, well, how is this possible? So people from all nations, all tribe, all people, whether it's the black, the Asians, or the Westerners, they all can live perfectly in heaven. In the past, I've lived with a black person for 3 days. I'm very nervous in my heart. He's so tall. He's from Kenya, and he's totally black. And when he opened his eyes, then you can see that he's there. So this is the human barrier. Actually, 3 days are fine. So you think about it, in heaven, forever, we will be in complete love with each other who are different. And the Bible tells us there's no longer comparison, sorrow, misery, and why? Some people say, because in the future, there's a lot of time. You know, now we are always in a rush, so we get angry. So in the future, it's not going to be crowded. Heaven is so wide and vast, so we will not bump into each other. Or some people will say, in future, we will be healthy. You know, because when we are in pain physically, we will throw temper. But you ask, why is it that in heaven, even though there's so much differences, we even have different crowns, and yet we can live in perfect unity? In future, do you still have need? Humans will still have needs in future, even when you go back to heaven. But there will be no longer any struggle or judgment or division. Why? Because first, humans will no longer have sin. Because when you have no sin, this is something very amazing. The moment your sinful body is done with, and you look at another brethren, even if his crown is lower than you, you will not despise the person. You will want to help the person. And when you have a higher crown, you will not look down on the person. But with what you have, you will want to support the brethren. So in heavenly home, there is perfect unity and harmony, even though there's a disparity in terms of crowns. And so in heaven, even though we still have needs, but the Bible tells us that by then, there's no need for the sun, and we no need to use the lamp, the light of a lamp, because God will become our light, and His light will shine on us. And so when the Bible talks about light, it just tells us that back by then, there will be no longer any kind of fears and lacking and scary things of the darkness. So, one thing is we have no more sin. Second, we will be completely satisfied by God's presence. And so, there can be perfect unity. And so, today on earth, we are practicing life in heaven. Maybe we think about heaven and we feel like it's very distant. But what is different is our sin. Because of our sin, our selfish protection, we easily judge others, whether it's distant people or people who are near us, it's all the same. And so, today, I want to talk about this message. So I talk about the people whom I met in the mission field to people who are near us. I really want to bring out your love and wisdom. I want to bring your love and wisdom in living with people to another level. Let's take a look at the book of Philippians. So, what kind of epistle is this Philippians? Some people say that the Church of Philippi, is the church which is most intimate with Paul. Because Paul said that from the first day until then, you have been in partnership with me in the gospel. So this church is one with vision and is of one heart with the apostle, and for the sake of the gospel, also provided for Paul. And then later on, in the beginning, Paul said, this is God who began a good work in your hearts. So your life is true, is beautiful, is God-loving, and this is because of God's grace in your life. So if you look at the book of Acts, the Church of Philippi is the first church set up in Macedonia. So this is the first church that Paul had established in the area, the region of Macedonia. It's a very small church. Perhaps it's like our church, very small. But it is involved in many ministries, spreading the word afar to different regions. So what kind of encouragement did God give such a church, telling them to love one another? Let's take a look at chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Amen. So as I read, I will explain the verses. So take a look at this verse. So what encouragement do you have in the Lord? So you circle encouragement, you circle the word comfort, circle the word common sharing, and tenderness and compassion. Circle all these keywords. So take a look. So here it says that people are all the same. So people all need encouragement, comfort, common sharing, tenderness, and compassion. So Paul talked about God beginning a good work in the Church of Philippi, and now he wants to talk about the love and co-working among the brethren in the Church of Philippi. So people need encouragement, because people are all weak, and with encouragement, then it will bring renewal. And people also need comfort, because we humans are weak. We face a lot of challenges, so we need comfort, and we also need communication. So sometimes we do not know, we do not understand, but after communicating, we understand. And then humans, we have sinned. So sometimes, even if we know, we are still unable to do it. So we need compassion, tenderness. And how do we get all these four things? You have to get this from the Lord. So in Christ, what kind of comfort can you give? In the Holy Spirit, what kind of comfort can you bring, etc.? So we have to get all these four things from the Lord. Encouragement, comfort, common sharing, tenderness, compassion. So after receiving all this, how do you be like-minded, of the one mind, one heart? So you receive, he also receives, everyone receives. But when you want to unite together, what happens? So from what you receive, from the Lord, the kind of comfort you receive, you also use that same comfort to comfort people around you. When you find mercy from God, you also have compassion on those who are weak. After you communicated with the Holy Spirit and you understood God's will, then you serve your brethren. So the gospel is like this. The gospel is not to make a person overly inward looking. I'm not against inner living. You know, in the church, there's a lot of people who claims that you should wait upon the Lord. You are intimate with God. And so this is like inner living. So some people in the morning when they wake up, for 1 hour, they draw near to God intimately. But when you're overly inward, up to a point, you do not care about people around you. Some people, they really like to evangelize. They keep on sharing. They didn't see that people's facial expression is already different, but they keep talking about their own things. I really love you. I want to tell you how God loves us. Some people, they are really near to God and they keep crying. And then people around them was just wondering, why do you cry every week? But he is not connecting with people around him. And he doesn't understand the feelings of people around him, how people is looking at him, how he can relate to people, and how he can share whatever he received from God to others, with others. So he's overly inward. So some people in the church, when they are over inward, they become very strange. I tell you, if you have a good relationship with God, from one area, people can tell. Besides your intimate communion with God, the grace that you receive from the deep fellowship with God, it can spread to people around you. So people around you can feel like you're a normal person who can understand their difficulties and feelings. When I'm with you, I can feel God's wisdom, God's compassion. So dear brothers and sisters, of course, some people, they are always socializing with people like a social butterfly, but he didn't receive the deep fellowship from God, and every day they're just socializing. Such people, even though they are very good in socializing, but such a person will also be affected by people. So whatever people say, they cannot take it because he is facing humans. But a very normal and healthy, faith-living and believer, this person will interact with God and he lives among the people around him. When he lives with his spouse, his colleagues, his brethren, people around him can receive the blessings from him. So, dear brothers and sisters, what I want to say is people are all the same. Because whatever God has given man is the same. Because God knows human needs. So when you receive from God, how do you lead a very normal brethren living to bless people around you? And when you do that, your serving, your partnership in the church, or your when you live with people, when you talk to people, no matter what you do, people around you can find grace from your life. I pray that such grace can come upon you. So after saying this, verse 3 tells us, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. in humility, value others above yourselves. So no matter how our life is, if the Bible says this, you must believe. That we humans, we are common in the sense where we have, all of us have selfish ambition and vain conceit. Sometimes I go to the church and I listen to certain conflicts in certain churches. I know the problem is because the pastor, he just formed certain cliques with certain selected people. The pastor knew that certain people have different opinion from him, and so he mixed with those with similar opinions as him, and he ostracized others. And so this is forming cliques. Or between brethren, they all love God. But the moment they talk about ministries, then strangely you are involved in this ministry and the person in another ministry, then slowly you'll be inclined towards those brethren who had worked with you before. And so this you and I division will appear. So whether it's in a human organization, company, or in a human church, this can easily happen. If we humans were not careful, this will happen. So if our church, our ministries increase and our numbers also grow, but if we can love each one another and we value others above ourselves and we are humble in all things and we are not doing anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, if we are not greedy over all these things and we just love God purely, what do you need? Look at the Bible. The Bible says you must receive the encouragement in Christ. You must communicate with the Holy Spirit. You must receive comfort in love, etc. And when you receive this, then you can always share. You can always be united with people and be like-minded with people. And then you will not fall into the trap of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So you need to connect the words of the Bible together. Doesn't mean that after reading the Bible, you just say that I can do this, he cannot do that. Actually, everyone is the same. When a person, anyone, is weak or receive hints, their reaction will be the same. If now I face difficulties and no one help me, I will feel the bitterness in me. Whether you are the pastor, you are the elder, or the brethren, lay person, your grumbling will come. It's all the same. So we must need the Holy Spirit. We need the comfort and encouragement in Christ. So the Bible always talk about you and God, and then live out a right faith living with people. And when you always live under this grace, you will not fall into the traps of the devil. May the Lord bless all of you. And as a result of this, you realize verse 4, let's read together. Do not look out for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. So you must not have selfish ambition or go after vain conceit. And then when you don't do that, when you don't go for selfish ambition or vain conceit, then the church will become more like a family. You look to the interest of others. You're concerned about your own ministries, but there's also other brethren's ministries that you need to be concerned. And we thank God that our children's camp was just over. I've been following the news, even though my children were beyond this age. So this is for 7 to 12 years old. What we are thankful is some of our teachers, your children are not within that age group, but you also come to help out. Those who are in the youth ministry or the elderly ministry, you still help out in the children ministry. So the good thing about a small church is this. When the church is small, then it will test everyone's love. Because when the church gets larger, there's more ministries and people are just concerned about their own things. But a church whom God loves, he will not allow the church to remain like that. When he leads the church, There are weak areas, even among the brethren. There's also short-handedness where it requires help. So sometimes in the women fellowship, our sister Esther is leading. I see that Elder Wen Gang also tried to participate. He's not a sister, but he came to attend because he wanted to involve more. And we thank God for that. And our Esther, she's involved in sisters' ministry, but sometimes she also visits JB to also take a look and help out. So only when we do that, then he can reveal God's heart. So verse 5 says, you must have the heart of Christ. Be like-minded. Be of the same mindset of Christ Jesus. So it's not just about ministries. No matter how well you have done your ministries, at the end, the co-working, the partnership of all saints, the relationship, the mutual looking out of interests of each other, that's the most beautiful. And when this church has such grace, then the church will be used by God and bring the gospel and the testimonies of this church to all other regions and all peoples. And so yesterday I did a count. This year I was not in the home church for 13 Sundays. And so I visited 11 cities to spread the gospel. So the 11 cities does not include people from other cities who travel to the particular city for the special meeting. So when we are to bring this ministry and message out, it must come from the co-working and prayers of all brethren. It's not done by one pastor alone. I always say this. So now, same thing for Paul. Chapter 2. Look at Philippians chapter 2. So chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19, Paul said, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. So you need to know. People must hear good report. Then they receive comfort in their heart. So God is very normal. He works on earth, and human interpersonal relationship is a must, is an essential. So why was Timothy willing to do all these things? Because verse 20, Paul continues saying, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests. So everyone is the same, but not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy had proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. So what did he do? He advanced the gospel and he co-worked with Paul. And so in the book of Philippians, you see there's two characters. One is Timothy. The others is verse 25, you see this character, but I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-workers and fellow soldier. Not the national service, but the soldier in the Lord. My brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you send to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. And indeed he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. So in order to serve God, he almost gave up his life. Maybe in the past there's no car. He has to travel up the mountains and go down the valleys, and he traveled in a very tough manner to reach Paul, and Paul was very needy of certain money, etc. So he had to go to such length to serve. So my theme is over here. Paul said, everyone looks out for their own interests. So own interests refers to their own benefits. If you have lived long enough and met many people, you will slowly realize that there's something common about mankind, and that is everyone looks out for their own benefits. You choose a church, why? Because of your own interests, the interests of your child. You choose a job because of your own interests. Even we parents, which parents does not seek the benefits of their child? You ask, Pastor, do you seek the benefits of your children? Yes, of course. We will all do that. But dear brothers and sisters, you must remember. The Bible says, look out for own interests. What does this mean? In our humanity, I'm not talking about other things, in terms of humanity, this is very natural and understandable. I love my family more than others. I love my children more than other children. I'm willing to give them the best. I love my church, of course. I also love God's other churches, but this is the church which God has led me to pastor. So, of course, I cherish this group of brethren more than other churches. This is something very natural. We all look out for our own interests. But you must know that before you understand the truth and the gospel, your view of interests is different. It's even wrong. For example, you want to give the best to your child, but what you define as good may not be good in the eyes of God. It just depends on your own selfish heart, and your heart is deceived, and there's deceit and confusion in my heart, and I want to give the good which I deem as good to my child, but that may not be good, and that may not be true good. I went to the States in the young people's meeting. I visit this United States once a year. I want to bring very huge grace over there, and many parents prayed to bring their children to attend this meeting because they've seen the value. The children, they love God. And but some other parents, they couldn't attend this time round. So I asked them, is it because they have to do some visitation or whatever reasons? And the parents said, because he had to study for some important exams. But everybody have to go through exams. But their child almost received full marks, but they think it's not good enough. So in order not to distract them, the parents don't allow the children to come to this church meeting. So if the good you define for your child is this kind of goodness, I cannot oppose, because that is your definition. But you have to ask yourself, the good that you want to give your children, does it match with the truth of the gospel? If your child is already very excellent and you want him to be even more successful, you are actually doing harm to your child, because the better he gets, the more proud he will get. And the moment he fails, he will be utterly inferior, because his sense of worth is all built upon his studies, his earthly credentials and achievements. And in between, if he receives any blows, he will be suicidal. So many parents, they only understand this at the end. It's not that the parents don't have the truth. The truth already said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's the most important thing in human life? That he loves God, he's near to God. Even if he finishes his studies a bit later, it's still fine, because it's just 1 year out of the 80 years in his whole life. But when you look at this thing too seriously, then his character and his spirituality, you just compromise, then it's not good. I don't know how to put it, because this is about values. And this value comes from how much you know this gospel as the utmost treasure, such that you treat everything else as rubbish. I'm not saying that our other things are not important. If you have a child, you need to take care of the child. If you have a job, you need to do the job well. But there's a central point that you must be very clear. Of course, there's many believers in the Church of God. But when you talk about commitment, you can tell that everyone just look to their own interests. I'm not saying that you must take care of Pastor Vincent because this is Pastor Vincent's church. No, this is the Church of God. If one day Pastor Chu is not here as a pastor, you must still recognize that this is the Church of God. You need to pay attention to the Lord's interests. But in the midst of all this, who looked to the interests of the Lord? But the Bible tells us that Timothy, he looks out for the interests of Jesus Christ. Epaphroditus, they are concerned about the Lord's matters. Is it because they are very noble? No. But they have seen the value of the gospel. You have to understand that people are all the same. When you see that something is valuable, then you will pursue it. Nothing, no one will serve God without seeing the value of it. No one will do that or serve in that way. God doesn't need us. God is not begging for us. But when you see there's this eternal value and eternal crown, and you see that this is more valuable than any other things, then you know that whether it's you raising your children or doing other things, this is the core thing you need to focus on. God's interest. So some brothers and sisters, they may say, but I have limitations and constraints. I look at some brethren in the cry room. So our sister Hui Zhen already given birth. Mirel is going to give birth maybe 1 or 2 weeks later. So the moment we have children, we have career, we have job, we have family, so we have to balance all, you know, some the things in the home church and in the mission field. So when we want to balance all these things, then there's surely certain difficulties and constraints, physical strength, time, etc. But you know that the gospel is of the highest value, and you have to live for the gospel. But yet, when you face constraints, sometimes you have not enough wisdom. You want to serve, also you do not know what to do, how to do it, then what to do. The Bible tells us the solution. What did the Bible say? Those of you young people who have traveled with Pastor to United States, you realize why did Pastor give you the breakfast? Is it because I'm not hungry, so I give you breakfast? Why? Because in order to accomplish the most important ministry, sometimes I need to go up to the stage to preach for 1 hour. There's no way I can eat. I also don't want to eat, so that I can focus entirely on preaching. So some brethren, they came with me and they see me in the gym in the evening, because I'm so tired, so I need to exercise. When I'm doing all these things, it's not to show people anything, but my point is, when you are serving God, you will realize you will surely face limitations. You have time constraints, physical strength constraints, limitations in wisdom and anointing. And at that point in time, God will touch you. You know, then you will ask God, what else can I do? And then, at this point, maybe you will wake up earlier. Maybe you wake up earlier to pray. Some people, they just cannot pray early. Some people, they just cannot wake up early. And some people, they just eat a little bit to give the person himself some strength. And some people don't like to exercise. They just exercise. They do not allow themselves to remain in a very comfortable state. Even time management. If my children are about to come home, so before my children return home, when they are still in school, how do I pray? How do I seize the time tightly to fulfill things? And when your ability is not enough, how do you work with co-workers to accomplish things together? So you need to be in contact with new people, new strengths to complete the mission of God. That's why God sometimes allows us to be in certain difficulty. But you know you have the calling, so you must seek breakthrough. Someone who needs to preach, who needs to lead the cell group, you must read. So without input, how can you give out? So you need to read the Bible, read the sermon of the pastor, read certain references. After reading, you need to be in touch with people, even though you're introvert. But in order to shepherd people, maybe in order to shepherd the elderly, the young, so you need to be in contact. So you receive healing to walk out of your comfort zone. So when I say all these things, some people, you just really cannot do it, cannot absorb, because you have no vision. You're only looking out for your own interests. But if you're looking out for the interests of Jesus Christ, you realize there's no way, no other way for you. Because in the midst of this, you will be dealt with. You have to adjust yourself, not just by stress, but it comes by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And then you will have added anointing. And in your serving, you will have God's oil anointing you. May the Lord bless all of you. So, for you to be able to teach or raise your children well, it's not because you're a good mother, but because you are someone who is willing to bless all children, love all children. No matter how difficult a child is, you are willing to shepherd them. And so, that's why you are able to raise your own child well. If you're a good pastor, it's because you are concerned about all the children of God, and so you can lead your own church well. So let's finish the last portion. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read together. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Let's read again. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. So can you do it? But this is not just lip service. For you to be able to do it, the earlier context must come in. Just like Timothy share in the gospel work with Paul and labor together with Paul. So you're not lazy. You didn't take the own way, easy way out. So if you serve the eternal kingdom for your eternal crown, you will not just seek your convenience, but you will offer your best to the Lord. And when you do that, You are disciplined in terms of your living habits, your interpersonal relationship, you just adjust yourself well, then God's grace will come upon you and God will give you added strength. So here it says, Him who gives you strength. So gives means, on the plane, as I came back with my wife, I told my wife one thing, that this year, that this year as we serve in the church and mission fields, and as we deal with our matters at home, just now I was jokingly telling you about my home matters, but if you put yourself in my shoes, it's not that easy. So every week, if you have to preach four times, you have to pray, you need to prepare, and you still have to go to school to face the authorities. And so there's this struggle, and not long later, you know, you have to go overseas and what to do with the children. So a lot of all this complication, I seldom share on stage. But if you are sharp enough, you will know it's not easy. So this year, I shared most on Philippians, the book of Philippians. The one who added, who gives me strength. So you rely on the Lord. Rely on the Lord. Rely on the Lord who gives me strength. So relying means, okay, relying does not mean that we already have certain plans in our heart. Then I do it. And if it succeeds, then we just thank God that, you know, this is God who has given me strength. This is fake. God also knows it's fake. Your heart also knows it's fake. Because you're just depending on your own plan, your own experience. So if you face a situation where you cannot depend on God. If you've come to a situation where you have no plan that you can fall back on, then you will be stuck. So you must be brought to a situation where you do not know what to do, you cannot predict. So humans is most afraid when he cannot predict. And then you have not enough time, not enough physical strength, not enough energy. And in that situation, you will easily be in the flesh. But at that moment, how do you pray? How do you be quiet before God? The Holy Spirit will make you think of God's word and God's promise, and you must hold on to the promise to pray. And at that point in time, beyond your imagination, God will give to you. Give to you means it's what you cannot think of. You didn't predict. You know, the kind of strength and wisdom in your heart. Doors are open. People come to help you. And as you do this, you realize God's word is true. So this is what's meant by, through Him who gives me strength. So before God, before Paul said this, Paul said, whether it's hunger or in need, whether it's good or bad, but I can do all these things through Him who gives me strength. I cannot imagine I can go through this ordeal, but yes. So then we can have a heart to rely on the Lord. It's not you dealing with things by your own plans of success, etc. So a lot of times before I even finish my sermon, I came up to the stage. So we who serve the Lord, many a times, we cannot have perfect plan in everything. We must go through prayer. And you try your best to do your part. And the rest, leave it to God. And what else does this verse tell us? You know, when you do this, you will see God help us. So, truly sacred ministries will surely have difficulties. So let me tell you first, next year, the Lord has opened some new doors for us. This year, I'm not in our church for 13 Sundays. These 2 days, I was counting, I was trying to be with the home church. But next year, we have this new region, and that is Japan. I will surely go there because I've recently I've been there for 5 days. I couldn't say I've I've fallen in love with Japan. But in these 5 days, I have to say that in the past, I totally have no feelings towards the Japanese. Because I like those people who can relate and who can open their hearts and heart-to-heart talk. So if I open my heart to you and just give me a blank face, I do not know what you're thinking. But every people or nation have their own culture and constraints. So Japanese, they care a lot about uniformity. Even their school rules and their looks and their uniform are all the same. But when you get in touch with them, every one of them are also different. But they are being shaped by the system. So there's a door which has opened in Japan, so I will go there. And so through a translator, I will preach the word. So this is Japan. In the past, when I went to China, a brother said, "You know, Pastor, it's good that you've never been to Japan. Otherwise, we Chinese will not welcome you because we have this racial enmity." So I told him, you know, in the gospel, there's no such things. Second, next year, we will have a special meeting in KL, Kuala Lumpur. So I'll pray for Malaysia. So from JB all the way to the northern part. Is it Perak or somewhere? The whole region. So KL and also the third region that God has opened the door. God has opened the door to UK. I don't know whether you heard about this place in Northern Ireland. A church has invited me to go. So when I did the counting, these 2 days I've been struggling. I try to cut here and there. I keep asking, Lord, if we do this, well, in our home church, there's more and more people. So I have a responsibility as your pastor. So when I'm not around, I cannot shepherd you. So how do I balance these things? So God points me to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So how did the Lord's strength come? Of course, in the spiritual dimension, well, I can have the anointing. But if physically I'm in England, I cannot be in Singapore and vice versa. So next year, our common serving and co-working is very important. So Paul also said, Timothy labored in the gospel together with me. And Epaphroditus also was in this together with me. So as you share, as you serve together, you must go through conflicts, struggles, and weaknesses. Then you realize that people are all the same. Sometimes when people are accused, when people do not understand, they just retreat. And when people are being accepted and loved, not just superficially loved, but loved in Christ, then people's heart will be open. So, especially when there's struggle, you must hold on to this truth that humans are the same. But when you want to cope with different people, you need to know that everyone is also different. Everyone has different character. So you need to adapt. So I always say that the church is different from the office. In the office, the boss has the final say because he pays the salary and he has the leadership, and his leadership comes from money. So such relationship, you know, the employees also look at the boss and say, I took your salary, so I work for you. But after that, if there's anything in your family, this has nothing to do with me. I just finished my area of work, and that's all. But the church is not like this. In the church, whatever happens to you in your family, these are all together. So we have to encourage and help each other. And so this year, this is where we need to pray more. So, may the Lord bless all of you. May this sermon today give you more light. I try my best to not just talk about mission things. I mean, mission is God's commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. But how do you go? You must integrate the strengths of all brethren to do so. As we end 2019, and then in 2020, may God give us more such grace. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for anointing us and encouraging us with your word to communicate with us so that we clearly know what, Lord, you want to do in our lives. It is not what we can do, but it's what the Lord you will do personally. Lord, please touch everyone and make your church united. So we have all kinds of people with different personality, competencies, talents. But Lord, please give us more grace so that we can integrate the strengths of everyone to fulfill your great commission together. And in 2019, through whatever we have done, please continue to guard, because we know that if the Lord have not built, the builders labor in vain. So in 2020, the ministries that you want to open up, the people whom you want to be in touch, the people who need shepherding, Lord, in this area, please also give us added grace. Lord, we thank you, and may all glory be to you, be to the God who fulfilled all things. And we pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.